good morning. Good morning. I think we should just let that play for the next hour, and I'd be good with that. What do you think? Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I forgot to turn my microphone. I was sitting here talking, and I thought to myself, oh, I forgot it's Monday. We have technical problems every Monday. But, hey, this time I just forgot to turn my mic on. I was sitting there talking. But anyway, good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening to you. It's 5 o'clock there. I hope you're about to pour a margarita or do something equivalent there at 5 o'clock. I'm having my morning coffee here, but I'll be joining you with that margarita in not time, I hope. And this is the Andy and Amanda Monday show. It is June 14th. My gosh, the middle of June, just about here. My gosh, where is the time going? Summer is around the corner. The beach, sun, surf, and pretty women and
all that
pretty,
good stuff.
All that good stuff. You know what I mean? All that good stuff. This is the Andy and Amanda show. I'm Andy Kimball. We do have Amanda Love in the UK, who is my my wife. Well, my internet wife. My internet wife. Let's be clear. We've never met, folks. Okay, can we talk? We never have.
Yeah, this is true. This is one of those like arranged internet marriages. You know, neither of us knew it was
arranged
happening.
Arranged marriage. You know something? Think of, you know, that's in the old country, and that back in the day, that's how they did things. You know, it would be arranged.
Yeah.
You and I probably could have very well been arranged and probably been, you know, very good together, you know?
Yeah, who knows? Oh, very bad.
I wouldn't blame anybody for that.
Could go either way, I guess.
Folks. Yeah. You know, for those of you just joining the show, we are a podcast, a live radio show on Block Talk Radio, and you can join this talk show by calling 515-605-9888, and you can also join the show via the internet by popping us an email at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. We'll send you a link in return for that, and what you have to do is just be prepared to join us by wearing a headset, have a microphone, all that kind of stuff, because it would be through a link online. So that's how you do that. Again, the number is 515-605-9888. We gladly welcome you aboard our show. We want to hear from you, your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or whatever you might want to talk about. That's what this is all about. Trying to solve all the issues and problems of the world. At least we're making an attempt to do so. Not that we've been successful at all in the past year and a half. But anyway, hey.
Wow. It makes us feel good, right? Knowing we're trying.
It does make us feel good. It absolutely does. It does.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, even if we're talking crap, you never know. You know, it could be just as good.
Hey, did you have a good weekend?
Oh, yes, I had an amazing weekend. Really, really enjoyed it. I was having a cocktail yesterday. It was incredible. So I had a lot of fun splashing around in the pool. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
happy days.
Nice. Oh, nice.
It was so lovely. I can't, you know, complain. Barbecue, pool, cocktail. What can I say? It was a beautiful experience. How about you?
I splashed around the pool. Well, my pool's the bathtub. I was splashing around in it for a while, too, you know. So. You know what I mean?
If you want to picture way, you know, it's what makes you happy, darling, at the end of the day, right? The bathtub is what it takes. Hell yeah, go for it.
Wait, hold up. Wait a minute.
Okay, we will. Hey, you know what I found? We talked about this before. In 2014, H1N1, the Ebola virus was something that Barack Obama was confronted with, and it never really did much. It had potential to, and some people were affected by it, obviously, but not to any extent or extreme, obviously, that the coronavirus has affected the world's population. And I just want to visit that for a second, for about a minute here. This is from 2014. Just you know, we put a little to it, but take a listen to this.
We have to put in place an infrastructure, not just here at home, but globally, that allows us to see it quickly, isolate it quickly, respond to it quickly. So that if and when a new strain of flu, like the Spanish flu, crops up 5 years from now or a decade from now, we've made the investment. And we're further along to be able to catch it. The funding we're asking for is needed to keep strengthening our capacity here at home so we can respond to any future Ebola cases. It's needed to help us partner with other countries to prevent and deal with future outbreaks and threats before they become epidemics.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
2014. He left the Trump administration, Barack Obama and Vice President at the time, Joe Biden, left Donald Trump a manual. It's about a half an inch or more thick, right? Professionally prepared by scientists and physicians on a plan. On a plan. And a deal with the plan should some sort of strain, some sort of flu begin to affect the population of the United States and affect the world. Here's how you go about A, B, C, D. Here's what we need to do. Just go down this checklist, like flying an airplane. Go down the checklist, do A, B, C, D, contain this mother. You know, boom, 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 boom. Here's how you contain it. Here's how you deal with it. Here's how we protect the populations and the citizens of the country and the world. Just do what's in this manual. Go through it step by step by step. Here it is. Trump disregarded. He got rid of the manual, and he also defunded and removed the task force that was put in place by the Obama administration to be a watchdog for a virus such as the coronavirus should it occur around the world, including in China. We had the staff. Right. We had the expertise. We had the scientists. We had the physicians in place. We had the structure set up. The logistics, the manual, the how-to guide, everything was there. Obama put it all together. It was all there. And it just, you go back and you look at this and, you know, we've touched upon this before, but, you know, the evidence is surfacing more and more now. That 605,000 people in America have died from a virus, needlessly. Not all 600, you know, we would have lost, you know, however many. Of course, it's however many is too many. But this thing, you know, and we're kind of on the mend now. And, you know, things are starting to open up. The world's population is beginning to become vaccinated. The numbers are impressive, at least here in the United States. And I think where they are, where you are in the UK as well. Yes, I mean how things the vaccines are. We're getting there, right?
Well, we are getting there. Although right now we've been warned today that the UK is on track for a big wave of infections. So they're saying that if the current rate of increase continues, there will be more than 15,000 cases a day by the 21st of June.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's all to do with this Delta virus, the Indian variant, as they call it. So, yeah, that is sweeping the UK at the moment. It's picking up its speed and spread. And it's mainly affecting those who haven't been vaccinated and those who've only had one vaccination. There's been three deaths, I think it is. So unfortunately, they've had to delay the inevitable, like I said on previous shows, about coming out of lockdown completely. It was meant to be announced on the 21st of June that we were going to be literally coming out of lockdown. But they've delayed it for another 4 weeks. So basically what would have happened if we did come completely out of lockdown, it would have meant that, you know, they'd have a bigger capacity of people, big events, you know, weddings, the restrictions on weddings and things like that would have been completely lifted. Socializing with more than six people indoors would have been lifted. So we still got the minimal restrictions there and social distancing, et cetera. But it's working at the moment. It's working. Unfortunately, this variant was predicted to pick up anyway. Boris, like I said on the previous show, had pre-warned that in the summer it was likely to see a third wave hitting the UK simply because, you know, science and the weather and everything like that, you know, flu viruses pick up at certain times of the year. This one's no different. So in a way, it doesn't surprise me that this is happening right now here in the UK, but at the same time, I'm very disappointed, as I imagine millions of us are here. And, yeah, we're just holding on to our hats and hoping for the best, Andy.
Oh, man. Well,
yeah.
I know there's a new strain that they're so concerned about. At the same time, there's another vaccine on the way called – wait, that's Orthonovum. That's a birth control pill. I'm sorry.
You never know, that might help.
No, wrong. Wait, that's not the birth control pill. That's it. Novavax. The vaccine's it's a new kind of COVID-19 vaccine, which is out, and the results have been very good in that it had 100% efficacy against the original strain of the coronavirus and about a 93% and plus something efficacy against more worrisome variants that have subsequently appeared all over the world. So that's on its way. They did a trial with 29,000, almost 30,000 volunteers in the United States and Mexico on the study. Two-thirds of those volunteers received two shots of the vaccine and one-third received two shots of a placebo. The birth control.
Right.
Anyway, no.
Right.
Well, as I was saying earlier, no. But 77 cases of COVID-19 occurred during the study out of 30,000.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So that's another vaccine on its way, and we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, this you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the strains. But we're starting to in America, in North America.
Yeah.
We're opening up. I'm going to the Dodgers baseball game tomorrow night in Dodger Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The Dodgers and my former hometown team and the hometown of our guest on Friday, of Joe Richmond, of the 76ers and the Harlem Globetrotters, and the sports guy that he is. I told him, yeah, I'm going to be rooting for the Phillies here in Dodger Town in Los Angeles tomorrow
That's
night.
Amazing.
But, you know, I've been to a baseball game since 2019, and it's going to be, you know, so I got some good seats. I spent some good money. You know, I said, I'm treating, you know, bam, I'm going to go get some good tickets and then go ahead and enjoy good old baseball, you know. Dodger baseball. Dodger Phillies,
you know,
tomorrow night. Really looking forward to it, yeah.
When I finally get to the U.S. one day, I'm going to definitely make sure I go to a baseball game because it's something I've always wanted to do. I admire the sport. I love the outfits, you know. I love the branding. I love everything about it. It just it's so cool. And, yeah, definitely something on my bucket list to do.
I hope we get you here over the summer. We talked about that. Actually, we talked about that was that last year when we were going to cover the AVN Awards live in Las Vegas in May?
Yeah,
that's the Porn Awards, for those of you who don't know. Yeah, we were going to cover the Mandy and I were going to cover the Porn Awards. And we couldn't get her here for that, but maybe over the summer. And, you know, you don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, I heard travel. You know, also what's happening is different countries around the world are starting to unveil, appears to be a passport of sorts that would prove that you've been vaccinated, that you've actually had the coronavirus, you've tested negative, and they're not doing that in the United States. There's a lot of controversy thereof for various reasons, but different places around the world, Australia, South Africa, I think. Are they doing that? I know in Europe they are. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was big talk about it, and I'm sure it's brought in as a trial basis. I've not heard any more as to whether it's going to be a legit permanent thing. They haven't mentioned what else they're applying it to, but it was something they were testing. So be interesting to know what they're doing with that. But I can see everybody doing it. Seems to be like the most sensible thing for a lot of countries, right?
Yep. Yeah, I wonder what. I wonder how they're going to do. You know, it's a whole thing, such a fuck up. I mean, this whole thing. You know, this whole. and you know, so many people lost their lives. I mean, my God, the death toll. And you know what's happening now in America? Mass shootings. Like every time you open the paper, there's another shooting where more than one person gets shot and killed. Innocent people.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
We've covered this a lot in the show in the last couple of weeks. We've talked about gun control and shootings and the difference between, you know, and how people – this sounds kind of crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
God, Andy, you're sick. All right. These people are sick. Where would that come from? Trump. Listen to what I'm about to say, and you'll see why I'm choking up about it. How people are killed in the U.K. versus here in America.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You're just killed with mass shootings and guns. Okay, you know what I'm saying. In other words, how the you don't see this in Europe. You don't see this anywhere in the world. You don't see this anywhere in the world outside of the United States. Mass shootings and people having assault rifles and weapons of that are meant to maim and kill in times of war. You know, and people
other
own
than
these weapons.
The, other than the labeled terrorist attacks that go on, like,
yeah,
we've had them here in Tarts and in France and places like that. But other than that, no, I mean, more third world countries, I'm sure they have a majority of things going on. I mean, places like Africa, where there's killings going on all the time, all day, every day, by their own, like, police forces and, you know, corrupt members of the forces and government there. I mean, trying to get money out of you, and if you don't give them money, killing you on the spot and things like that. If you're a tourist going over there in some places, you've got to be ever so careful, because you will get stopped by an official just for the fun of it, just so they can see if you've got enough money on you to pay them off, basically, so they let you go to where you want to go to, and that's kind of scary.
It's unreal. You know, and I'm thinking, do you remember the Ten Commandments? Were you around then? No.
Well, you know, I have a vague memory there somewhere. Oh, wait, no, sorry, that was on my tablet.
You know, somebody goes to the top of a mountain or something like that, and he's handed an iPad or something with the equivalent of such with 10 rules, you know, 10 rules. Just not 26 rules.
No.
10 rules. You know, exactly.
The magic number.
10 yeah. rules. Of, you know, and there's, unlike, like, here we have the, you know, the Constitution, they have amendments. How come there's never been an amendment to the Ten Commandments? Why can't we have an amendment? Thou shalt not kill with the, no mass shootings. I don't know. What the hell? You know?
Yeah.
You have these 10 rules. You know, if you do these 10 rules, as a matter of fact, I've got something here.
Okay.
I got something here. Nobody could tell this better and express my feelings better regarding the Ten Commandments and religion. Nobody does it better than the late, great comedian George Carlin. Take a listen.
Oh.
Now, folks, here's something else I got a problem with. The Ten Commandments. Here's my problem. Why are there 10? You don't need 10. I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to 10. It's a padded list. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told, so they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God had given them the Ten Commandments. But let me ask you this. When they were sitting around making this shit up, why did they pick 10? Why 10? Why not 9 or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. 10 sounds important. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. So what, are you kidding me? The 11 commandments? Get the fuck out of here. But 10... 10 sounds important. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade. It's a psychologically satisfying number. The top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision. And to me, it's clearly a bullshit list. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. I'm going to show you how you could reduce the number of commandments and come up with a list that's a little more workable and logical. We're going to start with the first three. But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest. Religion. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky, who watches everything you do, every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time.
But he loves you. He loves you.
He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-perfect, all-knowing, and all-wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was a funny take on that. I got to admit, that was a funny take on that.
Yeah, I want to do another one maybe later in the week where he talks about, you know, God being the leading cause of death in the world.
Oh, really?
Do you believe in God? No, I don't. Wow. You believe in God? Yeah. My God? No. You believe in God? No, I believe in Buddha. Muslim? You know, you don't believe in Muslim? Yeah. You know. Yes. I'll get that. But that's I couldn't resist because I just, you know, I was thinking about, you know, gun control and the coronavirus and all these catastrophes that we're faced, you know, these horrific adventures that were being dealt, and started thinking, well, you know, how come nobody's going to the mountain now? I mean, there's Mount Rushmore up there. I mean, there's mountains all over the world, Mount Fuji, Mount Everest. Somebody can climb up there. And how come they're not being handed a new set of commandments? What, just once? You think you give an update. You know how it's a book and then there's an update, or, you know, here's the new revised edition. Even dictionary is revised. Here's the dictionary. You know, the new Webster's Encyclopedia, whatever, you know, the new, you know, you know what I mean? Everything's updated. You're everything's updated. Your time, your computers, your everything. How come the Ten Commandments have never been updated?
You know, I haven't got an answer for that, but you know what? I was listening to that clip.
I thought you thoroughly did. I thought you had an answer for that.
It got me thinking about the responsibility humans dismiss so easily. So, of course, when anything goes wrong in the world, it's like, where's God? Why isn't he doing anything? It's like, hello?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so who's causing this in the first place? We are. Okay, so how can we change things? Who's capable of doing it? So if we're not working together to try and make these changes, then we're the ones fucking up, right? So we're expecting this outside force to come in, swoop us and save us, just so we can recreate the same issue over and over again. It's like, where's the responsibility? People in general, we just do not take enough responsibility for our actions and ourselves and the things we say to people, the things we think, the things we do, you know, the way we treat others, animals, whatever it is, the planet, the environment. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on and on. Our bodies, the way we disrespect our bodies. I don't think anybody likes to admit that any of this is in our control, because that would mean that we're the ones fucking up. And so, you know, no one wants to take that responsibility. So it's quite easy for everyone, even within religion and any kind of spirituality practice as well, to say, oh, it's the universe's fault. Oh, it's God's fault. It's, you know, this grand creator's fault, blah, 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 blah. The list goes on. We just don't take responsibility for anything that we do. And I think that's where a lot of anger comes from. Yeah.
We kind of had an answer for that on the show as to why that is.
The human element has been removed.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, I'd like to see that new updated commandment thing. That'd be pretty cool.
Come on. You know? Come on.
Yeah, we'd have a great one, couldn't we?
We should. We should publish an amended edition of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll hand you an iPad, you know?
What would you put? I've got you thinking now, I'm just sat here thinking the same thing. Well, shit, I've just asked Andy that question. I've got to answer that myself.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking?
yeah, pretty much. Oh, that's cool. Okay.
What I'm thinking is this. I think,
you know, people have got this theory that they'll want less sex at home if they're having it elsewhere, but in fact, there's a thing called the hydraulic pump theory that says that if you are having lots of sex elsewhere, you want more because your sex drive is increased by the sort of, you know, illicitness of the affair, and you're sort of hornier than what you were before, basically. So often that's not a sign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Phone lines are lighting up. Let's see who we got here. Hey, who do you hear us? You're on the Andy and Amanda show. Who do we have here?
It's Lisa, Andy. How are you?
Hey, Lisa Mann from South Carolina.
South Carolina. You remember me?
I do. Good to have you back on. Good to have you back
Amanda,
on.
How are you guys?
We're doing good. Great. I think we're doing good, aren't we, Andy?
We're doing real well. It's a Monday show.
Yeah.
We're back for another week on the Andy and Amanda show, and great to have you back aboard there. How was your weekend there, Lisa, there in South Carolina?
Great, great, great. Real hot here, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's the temperature there? What's the temperature?
Today it's going to be about 88. It's not yet, but afternoon
Wow. It'll
definitely be about 80-ish now, and it's very humid.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think what the temperature is here in the UK. So I know it's getting hotter. It was like, let's see, it was 26 yesterday. I'm trying to work out like in Fahrenheit. Andy probably is good on the ball with that one. It's 73 currently here at the moment.
Mm. Yes, that's comfortable. Very comfortable. That's very comfortable there. Yeah. Hey, you know, we don't talk about weather too much on this show. You know, we should. Oh, speaking of weather and the world, let me look this up real quick. Let me get to this real quick. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Because I have some, drum roll, please. We have some news regarding our listenership here on Blog Talk Radio, and that South America is beginning to fill up. We have new listeners on board that is, you know, small percentile, but a gaining percentile in the following countries that all came on last week. Argentina,
Okay. Welcome
aboard. Argentina.
Whoa!
Peru was with us before, but Ecuador is now on board.
Oh, wow.
And Colombia was on, and Brasilia.
Brasilia.
What do you call that? What's that
like
country
that.
Called?
Brasilia. God bless Brasilia.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's some Brazilian nuts from Brasilia.
And there's also a very small country over in Africa that just lit up last week as well. So I have a map here, and it lights up blue where our listenership is. And also Liberia. We're in Liberia now as well.
Wow.
And,
okay.
So that all came on board last week. All those countries that I just named all came on board last week. So
I
welcome.
If they just made an agreement with each other. You know, you heard that show? Let's jump on board.
Yeah, our numbers are really, I mean, they took a big spike up last week. We must be doing something. I'm not going to say something right, because I don't know if we're doing something right, but we're doing something.
Well,
don't know
that's debatable,
exactly what,
but we're on fun. Yeah.
You know, we're doing something. But, yeah, our numbers are, I know why. It's because Lisa's been joining us. That's
Oh, well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you for bringing them on board. to our new listeners, though, I'm so, so grateful. Both Andy and I are tremendously grateful for you showing your support and joining us. And hopefully you get to listen to our previous shows as well that we have on podcast download. And you can kind of listen back to our progress as we've made it to this point. Our wacky and fun and informative and crazy and outrageous and spooky, and I think the list goes on there, Andy, right? We've covered pretty much so much.
We've
on the
covered
show
a lot.
So far.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you, people. Wonderful.
Yes, I listen live when I can because it's easier for me to listen live than to listen back to the podcast. So
yeah, that's great.
Well, that's great.
And again,
no, we appreciate that.
And like Lisa, anybody is free to join us. We have a bunch of phone lines, and the number to get in is 515-605-9888. Anywhere in North America, internationally, of course, our country code here in the U.S. is 1. So it's 1-515-605-9888. From wherever you are in the world, you can join the show and be part of what we're doing here, and we welcome you on board accordingly. Anyway,
we'll make you feel welcome. So,
hey. So what else is going on there in the U.K.?
Mainly just the stuff to do with COVID, sweetie. I mean, it's just, they're talking about the new kind of conditions to look out for. Symptoms regarding the Delta variant. So they're now saying that a headache, sore throat, and runny nose are now the most common reported symptoms linked to the infection. And to still look out for the classic cough, fever, loss of smell or taste. But I just wanted to put that out there for people because I'm sure there's plenty of people walking around right now with headaches and runny noses thinking it's just hay fever when it could simply be, well, not simply, very unfortunately, the Delta variant. But so they're urging people now to just please go and get tested just in case so they can, you know, try and cap this and contain it and minimize it the most they can. Other than that, there's been some interesting things actually in the news. Talking about NATO facing up to China's rise.
Right. Biden's over there now. Yeah.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know more about
that
than I do? Because I've
Probably
just
not.
probably
don't.
I just saw the title and thought, ooh. Oh, thanks. So what's it? The head of NATO has urged members to respond to China's rise at a summit designed to shore up U.S. support for the Western Alliance. Yeah, that sounds real good. The Western Alliance sounds strong, powerful. You know, it sounds like a superhero team-up. China's behavior. Okay, what's that then? So it's saying the summit in Brussels issued a statement describing China's behavior as a systemic challenge. They've been naughty then. What's been going on, huh? I love the music in the background right now. they also agreed to keep Kabul airport running as the US and its allies withdraw troops from Afghanistan. Okay. It is the US President Joe Biden's first NATO meeting. Well, good luck, Joe. Well done. NATO is a powerful political and military alliance between 30 European and North American countries. Wonderful. It was established after World War II in response to the threat of communist expansion. So I want to know what this is about China. This is all good and well, you know, given these little facts here and there, but you're not really saying anything. Oh, here we go.
No.
Okay. So according to Summit's communique, China's stated ambitions and assertive behavior present systemic challenges to the rule-based international order and to areas relevant to alliance security. The document says China is rapidly expanding its nuclear arsenal, is opaque, and in the modernization of its military and its cooperating military with Russia. Okay, we remain concerned with China's frequent lack of transparency and use of disinformation. Well, that's not good. Well, it's not good. They're saying we're not entering a new Cold War and China is not our adversary, not our enemy. Mr. Stoltenberg told reporters at NATO headquarters ahead of the summit. But we need to address together as the alliance the challenges that the rise of China poses to our security. Well, I guess they're back in the headlines then, China. If it wasn't to do with the whole virus, it's now to do with this, right?
Yeah, my gosh. You know,
let's ask China,
we asked China that question. It's interesting now because that's kind of that's opening up now as to what, you know, they're going to start investigating, I guess, to whatever level or able to as to how this, you know, horrific virus came to be. And we've gone back and forth with all sorts of theories and compared and contrasted the various you know, theories and scientific evidence of such on the show many times over the past year. And, and the answer is we don't know. And nobody does. And for anybody to come to a judgment, oh, we told you this thing was invented in the lab, like Trump's been out there now touting, oh, he told you it came from China lab. We don't know. We don't know. And to go out and make that conclusion, just as he did, that the election is going to be rigged, you know, all these things that, you know, we don't know. And, you know, as I hate to keep saying this, but you don't know what you don't know. And we don't know that. So, let's just see. Let's see how it – just leave it alone and let the experts and scientists and physicians in that community, in that world, do what they do. And they have expertise in that. We don't – nobody does but that community. And we need to let them do their job.
Pretty much. We just provide the commentary.
And anybody's free to comment, say, well, if this was developed in a lab, then this. Okay, but if this came from a bat, then this. And you have that conversation, and hypothetically, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, where does that get you? Nowhere. It's like, you know, half the things you do in your life and what dictates, and we've been here before too, what you end up doing in your life, a lot of what you end up doing, decisions you make in your life are based on things that happened to you in the past, and some of those that happened to you in your past were not as significant as you interpret them as being, and therefore you make these decisions based on the story, which may not be well-founded in the first place, and wow, here we go round and round. Welcome to being a human being, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, when you don't know, just like, you know, this, being a former pilot, when there's a aviation catastrophe of some sort, and so people are in to make judgments and right away, and here's what happened, and here's what they should, and we need to change this law. You know, there are people who are very, very well trained who go in. You know, they dissect every aspect there is of an incident or a catastrophe, such as the virus, such as an airplane crash or a boat sinking, whatever it might be, a large, you know, train or a car crash. And they investigate, and that's what they do. So you let them do what they do, you know? But anyway, so we don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll follow that story because it needs to be followed, you know, as things open up. Here in the United States, the big thing is infrastructure. And there's parts of the infrastructure bill. Infrastructure means highways, airports, bridges, you know, infrastructure, transportation, and the Democrats have added some things to that bill because if they didn't, they would go ignored. So what some Republicans are debating is why is a section in the infrastructure bill tending to maternity leave for women and women's rights? What's that have to do with infrastructure? Yeah. Well, it's got a whole lot to do with infrastructure when you think about it. But they're thinking, but they're saying, why don't we just handle that as a separate matter? Why? Because it won't be handled. That's why. How many times we've seen that? Susan Collins, who I would say is a more moderate Republican in the great state of Maine, was interviewed, and we also have her interviewed here on the Andy Demanda show. And I think I like our interpretation of this interview a little better. So let's hear what she has to say regarding the progress of this infrastructure bill and what it and some details thereof.
Okay.
Well, first, I want to give credit to Senator Capito, who led the previous negotiations, because she certainly advanced the ball.
Who has done this thing?
Oh, my goodness.
Where ours is different is, first of all, it's bipartisan. We have 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats.
We're not ordinary people. We're morons.
Who got together to hammer out the framework for a targeted, responsible infrastructure package.
Wait, hold up. Wait a minute.
One way that it differs is that it includes provisions for resiliency, for strengthening the materials that we use to build our roads and bridges.
Ah, oh, shit, we failed.
Quite a good scene, isn't it? One man crazy.
And to strengthen our electrical infrastructure, it includes some energy provisions that are important to the administration.
When I give the word, throw the first switch.
You've got it, master.
Get ready. Get set. Go!
Throw the third switch!
There won't be a gas tax increase, and we won't be undoing the 2017 tax reform bill.
I think that was a booby trap.
Let me talk about three of the paid-fors.
First.
It's the implementation of an infrastructure financing authority. That's very similar to the state revolving funds that we use for sewer and water projects.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's a bipartisan proposal that was first put forth by Senators Mark Warner and Roy Blunt.
The second.
Would be to repurpose some of the COVID funding that has not been spent in the $1.9 trillion package that was enacted in March.
I'm the one that's trying to save it.
Oh, my goodness.
There were restrictions on what the funding could be used for. It could be used for water, sewer, and broadband. We would make it more flexible so it could be used for infrastructure projects.
The third.
There would be a provision for electric vehicles to pay their fair share of using our roads and bridges. Right now, they are literally free riders because they're not paying any gas tax. So those are three of the provisions that we've taken a look at. And when you have a state like California, which has an enormous surplus, and yet we're giving billions of additional dollars to that state.
And it looks like they're going to live happily ever after.
Bring that to me!
I think we can find room to repurpose some of this money.
Together we're going to defund our freedoms.
In addition, if you look at what has been spent, there literally is hundreds of billions of dollars in the pipeline going back to the initial CARES Act that was passed in March of last year.
Nobody ever thought what is happening would happen.
We have put an enormous amount of money, and rightfully so, into fighting COVID. Last year, we had five bipartisan bills.
Honorary member of the Bills Mafia?
And this year, President Biden added another $1.9 trillion.
Oh, my goodness.
That included a lot of funding that was not directly for fighting COVID. We are focusing on the traditional infrastructure definition: roads, bridges, airports, seaports, waterways.
Interestingly, he credited their fear of angering the British media.
And I think that makes sense.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we need to take a look at barriers to the workforce, at the need for more home health care. There's no one who's been a bigger advocate of home health care than I have been.
They defend the wrong things.
And we also have to learn lessons from the pandemic that we can use, for example, telemedicine to reach people in an effective way.
Reach out and touch someone.
But we need to reimburse for that. So we can look at these issues, but they are not infrastructure.
This is, in some ways, just the beginning for us.
Oh, my goodness.
And they should be considered separately, and I believe they will be.
I'm not going down on this.
Get that thing out of my sights!
Oh, I gotta say, I always enjoy those. I sit here trying to hold my little giggle, and it's just like sometimes it's just an outburst. I can't help myself.
That's what we're about here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Again, I'll keep putting our number out here because we have one, 515-605-9888. And would you realize that most of our audience, a large part of our audience, it tunes in and listens to the podcast on a pretty regular basis because we're distributed all over the place on all the various platforms. And we appreciate your listenership and you tuning in. And you're free to email us suggestions if you want to join the show or if you want to be a guest or know somebody who is of how do you say it? Everybody's important. So I don't want to say importance of media significance, maybe.
I see what you're saying.
You know,
yes.
To be a guest on the show, you know, you don't have to really be famous to be a guest. I don't know. But, you know, if you want to be a guest, you want to be a guest. Hey, you know, give us, you know, emails. Andy. Say what?
Hey, Andy. I heard you was going to a baseball game. You going to see the Dodgers and the Phillies?
And the Phillies tomorrow night.
Cool.
Definitely, yes. when Amanda comes over, we got to take her to a ball game, no doubt.
Yeah, we're going to try to make that happen sometime over the summer, pending travel restrictions and capability and all these other things. It's been obviously tough to do anything. And the only downside of that, it depends how you look at it. Part of we've never met, and once we meet, we can't say that anymore.
Obviously.
Perhaps what happened is that what we did brought it about.
Yeah. Anyway, I definitely want to get you here, and we'll do it.
I'll get there. I will get there. Yeah. It will happen when it's supposed to. I'm one of those believers that, when something is, alignment to happen, it will happen.
I've heard that. Well, it'll happen.
Fake it till you make it, they say, right? That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but
a hand dog. Oh.
Got excited for a second.
Just a second, Abby.
Elvis.
No, that.
Yeah.
That wasn't Elvis. Was it Elvis? Wow.
That was Elvis.
Yeah. Elvis. Wow. You didn't know that, Amanda?
No, I did know that, but you know what? I heard that clip for a moment. I was like, that didn't sound like Elvis. You ever heard that?
Yeah, Elvis, you're nothing but a hound dog. You know, somebody, an actor who was in the movie Deliverance, Ned Beatty, and a lot of other movies, but I think Deliverance was his role. And he was known for. That was, yes, Ned Beatty. Yes, 83 years old, passed away recently, and he has one hell of an acting career. Yeah, he just passed away recently, and sorry to see him go. Of course, another. But, great, great, great guy and a very talented actor. And 83 is not 3. Is,
no.
What they used to say is, I'd say what was, 50 years ago, the 50, the new 50, whatever,
Was he the one in Dick Tracy?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Bless him.
Yeah.
To be fair, I have seen a lot of movies with him in. There was only a few that I ever watched. But that one just springs to mind, I think, because of the whole style of it and, the class of it, and it was quite unique. Yeah, sorry, Lisa, was you saying something then?
No, I forgot what I said.
Oh, damn it. Sorry.
It must be something on this show. It happens to me all the time.
The
time.
You know what song I heard today by Elvis? I heard Burning Love. Don't hear that one very often. That's a great one.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you a funny story. When I was visiting family, my in-laws out in Michigan years and years ago, we all went out to this bar where there's a and I'm actually a very modest person. I don't, I'm pretty, I stay in the background. I can strum the guitar or whatever, but I try not to dominate places I go or to, especially getting on stage and singing karaoke because, the way I put it is if Bob Dylan can sing, well, then so can I. And so my family, my brother-in-law, whoever it was, goes up to the karaoke and signs me up to sing Hunk of Burning Love. So they call my name. And Eddie, come on, get up. You're singing Hunk of Burning Love. Now, I never heard of the song before. I didn't know how karaoke worked. So the lyrics come up on the screen during karaoke. Well, I didn't see them, and because I didn't know the words, I just made up my own words.
I like it. Can you
remember? I made up my own. Although it was something to do. What was it? What was I singing about? I think it was I don't remember. It's too long ago, but I don't know. I don't know, but it was funny. It was. I think I sang something like.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Something like. Yeah.
That must have been quite a situation. Wow. I mean, for me, I think I would probably freeze on the spot, thinking, shit. I can't remember the words. What am I going to do now? I guess that's like the most obvious thing to jump to, though, right? Or even that, I'll just walk off stage. Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you another funny story, karaoke story. A couple of years ago, I was at the Annapolis Boat Show in Annapolis, Maryland, and there was somebody who I knew was there in Annapolis at this bar, karaoke bar. I don't hang at karaoke bars, but, you know, karaoke, another one. So she's tall. Well, she wasn't that tall, but she looked like she could have been tall. She wasn't tall, but she had the presence. She looked like she could have been in a taller body, you know, very pretty, you know, thin, slender, blonde, right? And I figured, so I went to the karaoke, and we had been drinking all night. So what else is new? No, so I went up to the karaoke person, and I requested a song, and I said, I'll tell you what it is in a second. I said, you have the song? And they said, yeah, and they came, they announced my name, and she had no idea what I was going to do, and I grabbed her hand, and I took her up on stage. She's standing up. I kneeled down on my knees. So I come up to her waist, and we begin to sing, I got you, babe.
Don't
I
laugh! Got you, babe.
Oh, my God, that's funny. I'm on my knees. I come up to her waist, and she's there standing up. I got you, babe. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, the place got a good laugh. The place got a good laugh. Only on the Andy and Amanda show. We should get a video of these things as well here.
I know, right? Oh, that's so funny. I love hearing about these experiences. It is just hilarious.
Crazy.
I'll have to share some of the drunkard things that happened around me when I was younger, going out clubbing and things like that.
Tell the audience.
I had a bit of a night of a disaster, really, you know. I mean, it doesn't rank up there as, like, something in the movie. I wouldn't go that far, but it's quite funny at the time. I was, like, 17 and so I'm like, okay, you're going out pubbing, and I've got this, like, wraparound skirt on, and I got this bodysuit underneath, and I've got tights on, and these heeled shoes and this jacket. So we're all going out, and me and my friend, who's behind my other friends, casually walking along, and to start off the disaster of a night, my heel gets stuck in a drain. So I'm like, oh, great. Whoa. So there's me stood there with my foot stuck, and I'm like, right, take my foot out. Get a shoe, and then the heel broke off the shoe. I was like, shit, we're going to have to try and fix this. So we managed to fix it, thankfully. Otherwise, my whole night would have been ruined. And so that was the hilarity to start off with. So I go into the pub. Bear in mind now, I'm not someone who drinks very often, so I was, you know, easily to get drunk. And so my friends would always take the mick out of me, saying, oh, yeah, we could all chip in to get her drunk. And so I ended up drinking, I think it was cider to start with. So I thought, you know what, I really fancy cider. So I had this cider. So that hit me straight away. And then we go to the next pub, and I'm trying to sit on this bar stool and not having much luck. So, you know, I'm edging my bottom onto this bar stool, and it keeps moving. I move a little closer to it and try to edge back on it, and it keeps moving. By, you know, 10 seconds later, I was down the end of the bar chasing this bar stool to try and sit on it. Which I found hilarious, and so did the other people around me. And we ended up spinning drinks down this woman's back, trying to get our drinks from the barman. We went on to a club, and my friend fell over the banisters, leaning on the stairs.
Oh,
leaning over to talk to this guy. It was hilarious. She stood there chatting up this guy. This guy's looking up at her like, yo, starry-eyed. Next thing I know, she's leaning over a bit too far. Her legs go up in the air. She flies over, and she's still hanging on to the banister, you know, the pole thingy, whatever you call it. She's still holding on to it. So we're all just busting our sides laughing. And she finally let go, and this guy grabs her waist, and so that was funny. I ended up dropping something on the floor, and I went to get bent down and pick it up and smack my head on the bar. And then we went on to this other club, and I was desperate for the toilet. So, you know, us girls, we go in together. We're like, oh, yeah, I need to go too.
I always wondered about that, but yes.
Yeah.
How do you know?
We don't find it embarrassing. We just go in there, and we have a chat, whatever. So I'm in my cubicle. They're in their cubicles. I can hear them talking and washing their hands, and they're all leaving. And then I hear, Amanda? I'm like, yeah? Are you okay? I'm like, and they can understand what was going on. It was taking me ages to use the bathroom because I had to literally get undressed. I had to untie this wraparound shirt, undo this bodysuit, flip the skirt over my shoulder. Oh, it was quite a situation,
Keep going.
Andy.
I want to hear more. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. I literally had to strip off just to use the bathroom.
Really?
So, yeah, oh, yeah. It was a bad choice.
On 60 seconds. No, no.
It was a funny time. It was a funny time. But like I said, it was one fiasco after the other. And by the time I got home, I don't even remember getting up to bed. I'd undressed myself going up the stairs, which I can't remember. And when I woke up the next day of a terrible hangover, I found this trail of clothes just going down the stairs. And I'm like, how the hell did that happen? Can't remember getting there. It was it was very funny. Very funny.
That's I'm imagining this. I mean, I don't know. It's like, yes. Yes.
Like I said, it doesn't quite rank up there with some movies, you know, because, you know, there's hilarious movies with things like that happening. But, you know, it's one of those nights where just one disaster after the other, it was so funny at the time. You have to be there to appreciate it. But I haven't had a night like that since. But,
yes.
It was a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. I got to tell you, it does it. So, you know, there are some other things I want to get to. We're out of here in about a minute and a half, and we'll get to whatever I was going to get to, because I think it was something to do with...
Everybody say orgasm loud.
Something like that. And
all right.
yes. So... on the next Andy Amanda Show, we're here again on Wednesday. We're live at noon California time, 3 p.m. In the East Coast, and 8 p.m. in the UK, and likewise for Friday. Other than that, you are free to listen to our show at any time on blogtalkradio.com, of course, and whatever the podcast network you're listening to. I was having fun early this morning listening to Friday's show on TuneIn Radio just to see what we actually sound like. And I was like, you know, it's not bad. Not bad at all. You know, not bad. What do you think, Lisa? How do you think we're doing, Lisa? Here's a caller. What do you think, Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Call me off.
Advise me to keep my fingers away from
these guys. So.
Yes.
What
well,
are you
listen,
talking about?
You know,
tomorrow night. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you're Philly enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're this concludes another episode of the Andy and Amanda Show, and we'll be back again, as I said, Wednesday. Everybody have a great evening, day, morning, whatever time it is in your corner of the globe, and Amanda can sign us on off there.
Okay. So on behalf of my wonderful co-host Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, here in the UK, thank you so much for joining us for another show. And please come back and see us on Wednesday. And we hope you enjoy. Take care of yourselves and keep smiling. And we'll see you then.
And Lisa, thank you very much for your call and for joining the show. Anytime. Anytime.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys. I'll talk to you later. Have a good evening.
Take care, Lisa.
Thanks,
Mel.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Talk to you later. Have a good time, Andy, at the ball game. And think of living as it was.